Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 6 through 12. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he, meaning Jesus, answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our Savior, whom we see through eyes of faith, dear fellow redeemed. We read an article last week. I'm going to read a paragraph from that article. It is this. If you had your choice of participating in any activity available within a day's drive, what would you do? Go skiing? Go to a basketball game? Go to a museum? How about staring at a box with moving pictures? How many hours a week do you spend watching TV? Who would have ever imagined that people with so much freedom and with so much money as we have would dedicate so many hours every week to watching a box with moving pictures? And the same point could apply to surfing the internet. End of the quote. We probably say also our smartphones. It's one of the great ironies of our time. It's ironic that how important entertainment has become in this world of ours that is so busy, so hectic, and so industrious. What does it say about the time we have? That's really nothing new. Ever since medieval times, people with money and with freedom have struggled with the decision as, what should I do in my free time? What should I do for entertainment? This year, during the Sunday morning Lent services, we're focusing on irony. Irony in Jesus' passion. This morning we meet a man named Herod Antipas, a man who could do almost anything he wanted, but he was desirous for an unfulfilled entertainment. He was wanting to see Jesus. Luke says in our text, now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Jesus led prostitutes and tax collectors to see their sins, and then he preached to them the good news that they're forgiven alone through him. When he preached, people hung on every word he said. When he was only 12 years old, he spoke to those priests and scribes in the temple, and they were amazed at his word. But Herod, he wanted to see Jesus because he wanted to see a miracle. He wanted to be entertained. This is not the same Herod that was at Jesus' birth. That was his father, King Herod the Great. He was the one whom the wise men came and asked where Jesus was born. He was the one who killed all those baby boys 2 years old and under around Bethlehem. Shortly after he did that, he died a miserable death. This is Herod Antipas, his son. Herod's son Archelaus took over as king in Judea and ruled in Jerusalem. Herod Antipas wasn't a king, but he was a ruler. He ruled in Galilee, in the area of Perea. About 10 years after King Herod died, his son Archelaus was also removed as king over Judea, and they put a governor now in control, a man named Pontius Pilate. So even though Herod Antipas didn't rule in Jerusalem, he was in Jerusalem here for the Passover because he was also a Jew. And so he was there in Jerusalem. And his political rival, the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, heard that Jesus was from Galilee and heard that Herod was in Jerusalem. So he thought, I can get rid of this problem. I'll send him to Herod, and Herod can take care of this problem and put him on trial. And Luke tells us that when Herod heard that Jesus was going to come to be in front of him, he was very delighted. He had wanted to see Jesus for a long time. Remember, this Herod was the one who had married his brother's wife, Herodias. And when he did that, John the Baptist condemned him and accused him of adultery. And so Herod Antipas threw John in jail and killed him. Herod was not a nice guy. He was like his father, quite cruel. And yet, he wanted to see Jesus. There's nothing really ironic about that, because Jesus did appear and was seen by sinners, by evil men, kind of like Herod. But Herod didn't want to see Jesus to confess his sin. He didn't want to see Jesus say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. He wanted to see Jesus for entertainment's sake. Herod really didn't want to kill John the Baptist. We're told in the Bible that Herod actually liked listening to John speak and preach, even though the scripture says he didn't really understand what John was saying to him. It was his new wife, Herodias, who hated John. And as you remember, Herodias' daughter danced for Herod one day at his birthday party. And Herod was so impressed, he promised her, I'll give you half my kingdom, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And at her mother's instructions, she asked Herod for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And Herod complied. Well, shortly after John was killed, Jesus became very popular and became quite famous. We're told that Herod believed that Jesus was John the Baptist coming back from the dead. And ever since that time, Herod wanted to see this Jesus. He wanted to see this miracle worker who raised himself from the dead. What an incredible waste of time. The one person who could have made a spiritual difference in this cruel, bloodthirsty, power-hungry man was standing there right in front of him, and all Herod cared about was to see a few miracles, a few magic tricks. But that really shouldn't surprise us. People with freedom, people with money, get bored quite easily. And they also look for entertainment in a lot of different places. Why do you think that TV and movies and casinos and sports events and video games today are billion-dollar industries? It's because the nature of sinful man is to be restless and discontent. Well, here is the best thing that could ever have happened to him, standing right there in front of him. It never happened before. God coming in flesh and blood, standing there in front of Herod. Now, Jesus hid his divine glory. He was a human being standing there. And he stood there, beaten and bruised and bloodied. But yet it still was the Almighty God, the Son, standing there in his presence, in that body who by that evening would be dead as a sacrifice, even for Herod. And Herod missed it all. God had come to him, and he missed it. Well, God has come to us too. Do we see him this morning? Do we see God in his word? Do we see Jesus this morning as we celebrate the blessed sacrament of the Lord's Supper? Are we satisfied with that greatest miracle of all time? God came in human flesh and blood and then died on the cross and rose from the dead to give us everlasting life and salvation? Or are we looking for something more? Are we desirous of something more entertaining, more exciting? Do you want to come to church to be entertained and wowed and awed? The truth is, being a believer in Christ is hard work. I know it takes discipline to sit in the pews and listen. And God's word is read and heard. I used to do that. It takes discipline to get rid of those distractions, those influences that come into our hearts and our heads, and concentrate on what the Lord is saying to us, either through his word or through the pastor's voice. And we live in a culture that has so much money and has so much time and so many entertainment opportunities and options that we can't compete with them in simply listening to God's word being read and heard. So we need to ask ourselves sometimes, are we becoming more like a Herod? We want entertainment. We want excitement. We want more than just a simple sermon. We really have no defense if we haven't spent the time ourselves in studying the scriptures. We have no excuses when our mind wanders off when the word of God is being proclaimed and we're thinking about a thousand other things. And even though we may have been moved by many sermons and many words of God, we're not perfect. Someone wrote, if God were to play a tape recording of our thoughts and of our words, even on Sunday morning, even in church, what would he see and hear? The verdict would be guilty. Guilty of letting our mind wander. Guilty of not being present with the Lord with our hearts, but maybe with our bodies. Maybe being guilty of some selfish thoughts. Guilty of maybe even some lustful thoughts. Guilty of things that we would be embarrassed about to tell other people because God sees it in our hearts and our minds. And guilt, the punishment for guilt is hell. But thank God that he doesn't play that tape. In fact, God's not going to review our sins from Sunday morning, or from Tuesday, or any day of the week, and judge us on Judgment Day. In fact, he declares you and me to be righteous in Christ. It's as if we listen perfectly to all the sermons we've ever heard. It's as if we perfectly loved our neighbor and loved God with all our heart, soul, and mind every day of the week, because God says to you and me, you are righteous in Christ. Why? Because Jesus took all of our sins. He paid for the guilt and the punishment of our sins. And he took all of our sins away. That's the irony of Jesus standing there before this wicked, unbelieving man named Herod. This nasty ruler thought that he was in control of Jesus. That's what appeared. But Jesus was letting all of this happen to him in order to be Herod's Savior, in order to be your Savior and my Savior. He let this happen so that he could go closer to the cross. And there Jesus paid for all of our sins, paid for Herod's sins, and he paid for our sins. He has forgiven us even for our disingenuous, disengaged, and discontented hearts and minds. And one of the greatest ironies about the entertainment culture that we live in is that we often make mindless entertainment more important than some things that we really care about. I read of a missionary who came back to the States, and he said, when my wife and I first went to South America, we turned on TV and we couldn't understand any of it because it was in Spanish, and we hadn't really learned Spanish enough to be able to enjoy it. So we spent that first year of our lives just playing games and getting to know each other and talking to each other. And after about a year, we learned Spanish well enough that we started to watch TV. And then unfortunately, TV kind of assumed a greater and greater role in our lives, and we didn't do the things that we had done that first year of our marriage. Herod's sin blinded him. He wanted entertainment. He wanted to see miracles. He wanted to see Jesus perform. And he didn't see the gift that was standing there right in front of him. So he sent him away. And that leads us to our second point. Herod had been wanting to see Jesus, but God wanted to show him his Savior. Luke tells us, then he, meaning Herod, questioned him with many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. Herod thought that maybe Jesus could answer all kinds of important questions. He could do amazing feats, amazing miracles. He could be a wizard, maybe a magician. But Jesus wouldn't play the game. And as Herod was trying to enjoy Jesus there, we're told the priests were standing by him, and they were vehemently accusing Jesus. They were trying to distract Herod, because if Jesus would have performed a miracle for him, and Herod would have enjoyed that, that wouldn't have been good for these unbelieving Jews who were trying to kill Jesus. But they hadn't need to worry about that. Jesus wasn't there to show off. He wasn't there to perform some miracles. Instead, he didn't answer Herod anything. So Herod did what many spoiled children do. He turned something else. He then made fun of Jesus. He and his soldiers dressed him in a royal robe, beat him, insulted him, abused him, and then sent him back to Pontius Pilate. All the time, Herod did not understand who was standing right in front of him or understand what he had missed. Now, Jesus didn't have to hold his tongue when he was being abused and insulted and ridiculed. Jesus didn't have to let this evil, cruel king beat him and abuse him. If he had offered a defense, who would have blamed him? But since Jesus loves us, he allowed this man to abuse him, to insult him, to mock him, and send him back to Pilate, because that took him one step closer to the cross and one step closer to eternal life for you and for me and for Herod and Pilate. Unfortunately, Herod and Pilate didn't recognize that at all. And neither one of them made a real effort to understand who Jesus was or to understand what his purpose on this earth was. And the sad thing is, though, we read our text that they saw a silver lining to that day. Even though Herod didn't get what he wanted, to see miracles from Jesus, Pilate, by saying Jesus to Herod, that was a gift for him. And even though Pilate didn't get what he wanted either, Herod sent Jesus back to him, and he still was stuck with the problem, what to do with Jesus. We're told that the two of them became friends, because Herod was happy. Pilate sent Jesus to him. And Pilate was happy that Herod found no fault with Jesus either. So he could tell the Jews, Herod, a Jew, didn't find any fault with him. And could say, I need to let this man go. And so that day they became friends. But they didn't become friends with God. So, when you think about that, has there been a time when you've come to church and you weren't particularly moved by the sermon? You went home and said, wow, the greatest thing today was I got to talk to some Christian friends. I got to talk and visit with people that are like-minded, just like me. Or do we sometimes go home disappointed that we don't have more activities, don't have more excitement here in church? Or do you sometimes feel like you're really all alone here and you really don't know too many other members and other members don't really talk to you and you kind of feel like if I left, no one would even care? You know, God tells us that we need to be concerned about each other. We need to constantly reach out to each other with our compassion, with love. And yet, the most important reason we come to hear God's word and come to the church is simply to see Jesus. God the Father shows us his love in his beloved Son. God the Holy Spirit shows us that Jesus came to give his life for us. And the most important thing to do in coming to church is simply see Jesus. It's because Jesus stood in our place. He was abused. He was mocked. He was beaten. So that we would not be abused and beaten and mocked by God. He stood there and refused to defend himself so that we wouldn't have to defend ourselves on Judgment Day before our Heavenly Father. Jesus went to the cross for Herod, for Pilate, for those priests, for those Sadducees, for those scribes who were accusing him. And when the day was over, every single sin of every single believer and every single sin of every single unbeliever, too, was paid for in full. Your sins, my sins, all paid for. Every time we have a worship service, the Holy Spirit through the Word is showing Jesus to us, telling us that we are free, telling us that we are forgiven, that we belong to Jesus. That's the place where we hear this message, right here in God's house. The heart of our fellowship, the heart and source of our love for one another, and our compassion for each other, and our forgiveness with each other, is the gospel message of Christ and him crucified and risen again. And so God then creates that companionship we have, that love we have for each other, that friendship we have with each other, that we get to express on Sunday mornings before and after church. What a blessing we're able to come together and see Jesus. We Americans have really more money, more wealth, and more freedom than any other nation, probably in history. But there's a greater freedom than political civic freedom, and there's a greater wealth than just money. We have freedom from sin, freedom from the fear of death, freedom from eternal damnation in hell. And we have spiritual riches that are endless. Spiritual riches of forgiveness, life, salvation, peace, eternity, joy, perfection. What will we do with all that freedom? What will we do with all that wealth? On our own, we'd only waste it. Looking around for some empty entertainment, searching vainly for something new, something more exciting, squandering our days, our nights. But we're not on our own. God has called you and me to faith in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And he teaches us that we have treasures beyond imagining. By God's power, we want to see Jesus. Only Jesus. And in God's word, we see Jesus. Thankfully, for the right reason. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.